So we move on to resilience. So we should have a chat about what happened last weekend with the storm. Mm-hmm. So I got woken up at 11 o'clock in the evening by a tree coming down on my house. So I was given a fairly quick heads up that this was going to be an issue. I also helpfully got an email, or not an email, a text from Jimmy in the middle of the night, said, how's the resilience plan going? So I woke up at 7 o'clock with this in my mind, and I phoned Keith Colville at the council at 7 o'clock in the morning, and that actually worked quite well. So I got him first time. I put the Aberfeldy on his radar, and he was able to talk to the council emergency response team at 9 o'clock. And so to me, that actually worked well, I think, because they had a very early indication that there was issues here. So it was on their radar. And I was able to check Dalweem and Abbeyfield and tell them that they were okay. And they had penciled in very early on that they were going to try and bring some sort of welfare van to Aberfeldy if necessary.
Victor, Dalweem do not have a backup generator. I double checked. Yes.
So we'll come to that. We'll come to these other things, Val.
Okay.
So for me, to me that link at the council that's supposed to be our first port of call, that actually worked pretty well. I did leave a message with Alistair at Heartland just to say what the situation was here and put it on their radar as well. But I think the way it was, part of Aberfeldy was off for much of the day, and everyone out and about seemed to be all right for a while. So people were coming into the town expecting to be able to do their shopping and what have you, and they weren't able to do that. And there was certainly a bit of frustration at the co-op. But I think we got away fairly lightly compared to a lot of others.
Indeed. The observation I would make, I mean, you were lucky if you were able to be in contact, because certainly our mobile phone system was out until Sunday. And our landline was out for quite a while. I'm not exactly sure when it came back. We don't use it that much. But for me, the object lesson from last time is you need to have a backup situation where you're completely out of modern communications. Because although clearly it emerged some people did have a continuing mobile coverage, I guess if one mast can go out, so can two. Or if it's the power supply to those masts going out, it could take them all out. So I think the object lesson is learning that we're resilient to no communications.
And that's a huge thing in itself. My phone was working okay. I think most people don't give any thought whatsoever to what do they do if their communications are down.
Yeah, quite.
And we found
I think one of the major problems was that because the internet was down and mobile phones were down, people didn't have access to the internet, and the likes of SAC and Scottish Water were putting out messages on social media, which many folk in the area couldn't gain access to. So there was a lack of communication because they were relying on modern technology, I think, to communicate. And for a lot of us, it wasn't there.
Yeah, and indeed, it highlighted the value of encouraging people to hang on to battery-powered radios.
Yeah, I certainly, it was very sort of old technology for me. I had a radio with batteries in it that I used in the bathroom because there's no power or plugs there. I had a couple of old gas camping stoves that I dug out of the basement, and I dug out an old landline phone and plugged it in, and it worked fine. So it was back to the 80s, I think.
It's interesting that a lot of the older people in Aberfeldy they seem to manage okay, and the younger people were.
Yeah. Well, what I would say though, it's interesting. You know, we talk about climate change and doing away with oil and gas and wood burning and things like that. But I think it would have been a different story maybe over these few days if folk hadn't got access to things like gas fires that didn't need electric or wood burning stoves or gas cookers with a ring that they could use to heat up their house and also to cook their meal or boil their water or things like that. So I think it was quite a interesting from that point of view that there's still a reliance, if you like, at this moment in time on fuel sources other than electricity.
And a good thing to keep it, yes.
Could I throw one point in for the resilience plan, Victor, in terms of the total loss of communications? And I was only just at the Kenmore Road end, and I had no telephone until I unearthed a corded phone. I had no mobile phone. There was some mobile phone coverage as close as halfway across Poplar Avenue. So that must have been reaching a mast a little bit to the east. The Drummond Hill masts and so on were all down. But another factor, if such a thing were to happen again, is do you have any record or note of anybody locally who is an amateur radio enthusiast who tend to have the ability to communicate no matter what?
No idea.
I am aware simply by observing his aerial systems that one such person lives on Law's Place. Just might be something that you could build in to the plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alistair, can you say a little bit about Heartland Radio? I mean, are you able to operate when everything's down?
Yes. We recently... when we moved to the new premises in Athol Road in Pitlochry, we recently reviewed the whole system. And if power goes down to the studio, we have a battery system, an uninterrupted power system, which will keep us on air for 2 hours. And that gives us some thinking time. If it becomes obvious that after 2 hours power will not be restored, we've got a generator which is located across the road, which we plug into our power system, and that will give us the ability to run with a temporary studio, which will be very basic, but will keep us on air indefinitely. Now that is on the assumption that the mast at Fairmore, where our FM transmitter is, stays with power. They do have a backup power system, a generator which should kick in automatically without having to have somebody on site, assuming that the networks are up on internet, we've two internet suppliers into Heartland. If one goes down, the other one will back up. Assuming one of those is on, one of those internet suppliers is still up, we will be able to still broadcast online on our streaming service as well. And then again, that is reliant on other people's internet being up as well. I'm quite surprised that the mobile phone systems were down, because the information that I had is there should be a good backup from all the suppliers in the area to continue with their 4G in the area. But that might be worth certainly looking at, is where these masts are, because I'm not familiar with all the masts. Our resilience investigation into the system that we use suggests that should stay up in the event of a power outage, that the supplier will actually keep the mobile system up and running. But as I say, there obviously is certain flaws in that, if that doesn't actually happen. But we should be able to stay on air indefinitely with a generator.
Yeah, so you know what, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, obviously Aberfeldy was up and running again, but imagine if we were been off for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, yeah.
The importance of a local radio station then that can tell us what's going on.
So long as we've got the battery radios.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
That's what I was going to say. It depends on who can actually receive that information, because 9 times out of 10, people are probably doing it digitally or, you know, are needing power to access that. So how do you get the word out to people? I think that probably is something that we need to probably look at, is, you know, if it had been out for longer and you have no ways of communicating, how do you get the word out to people as to where they can access help and, you know, what help there is in the town and things? It's how can we in Aberfeldy to get the word out to people as to what's going on, what help's available, where they can go to get help and things.
Well, the welfare van, the welfare van that was up in the town hall, I mean, unless people could tap in, they wouldn't have known it was there.
Quite. Yeah.
But the power was back on before it arrived.
Well, about 2:30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was on, but our TV supply, the mast was out. We weren't getting TV because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have that backup either, so...
No,
we were still non-communicating until Sunday, so I even had to buy Anna a Sunday newspaper because she was feeling dearth of news.
Well, in fact, our Wi-Fi didn't come back on until Monday, because we left Sunday night. And Monday night, I think it was.
Certainly, word had got out, because when I passed the town hall, can't remember what time it was, there was a queue of about 20 folk. Queuing for food. So,
all right.
Okay. I think it was supposed to be for people who had their power still out, but there was quite a lot of people who had their power on still waiting in the van.
I
think too, what you got to remember, a lot of the shops weren't open, and even at that point in time. Mm. So if you wanted to go and buy something for your tea, you couldn't.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's, sorry, Victor, I think it's maybe like worthwhile looking at also the town hall situation. You know, when do we open up the town hall? When does the emergency take over from the COVID situation? And, you know, how, if the power is out everywhere, how quickly can we get generators and things here as a backup for people? Because there was people out for days and days. So it's kind of, I think, probably looking at that as well.
So I was given a very firm stare from Keith Colville early on that the whole concept of bringing people into the town hall was not going to work in COVID times. And, you know, so he was pretty clear in his own mind that most people will be able to deal with this for a period of time and not to try and micromanage it too much. So he was pretty clear at the outset that was the right, and that turned out to be the right thing to do.
I had a similar conversation with Keith early on Saturday morning or whatever the day was as well. Yep.
Although you have seen in other communities, you know, it's been on TV and things, lots of other communities opened up halls to provide hot drinks, hot food and things, but that's probably in a longer situation where it's gone on for a longer period of time and things, but... And, for us, thankfully, it wasn't too long.
But I think the SSE had said that the welfare van would stay there, you know, until as long as we needed it. We didn't need it any longer than that afternoon, evening. But if we hadn't had power, it would have continued on until our situation had resolved itself. So,
Alistair, you got your hand up?
The 0345 number that was given out, John, was that a council number or was that a SSEN number that was given out? It was a welfare number, and I thought it was a council number as a council contact, as a kind of first means of contact. If people were, is that a council number? Is that number a constant number, or is that number just put in specifically, you know, when that situation, is it the same number, I suppose? Is that a constant number that will be brought in when the situation arises or is needed?
I think it will be a council number. I'm not sure if it's available all the time or if this is a, you know, a special setup for these kind of occasions. But if I can check, Alistair, and I'll come.
Because I mean, I know we've talked there about situations when people don't have internet access, but if you do, we've got a winter sort of weather, a winter preparedness page, and if that number is the same and is brought in at these times, I'm quite happy to publish that number on that page. But just wanted to know if that number was a constant number that would be brought in at times when it was needed.
Yeah.
And same for the Aberfeldy area, Victor. If there is a number, who is the first point of contact number? Should people wish to get help, or should people be directed through that council welfare number?
So we have, in the resilience plan, there's four of us are on that, but we've never, so me, Val, Norma Carr, and John Steele from Lucas Bradalbin. But we've never, I'm not sure we've ever really made sure that that's distributed properly.
Well, like, again, the offer's there with your permission. If you want those numbers published, I'm quite happy to put them on our winter page for the Aberfeldy area. Should people... The assumption is people would have access to that, but it means that we would have access to that as well as a handy guide. And assuming the worst situation that power is off and we go on to the power of our generator, we should still be able to access those pages in the background as well. So it might be an idea for us to have those updated numbers to hand, but quite happy to publish them if you think that would be appropriate as well.
John, if that happened, that welfare unit still be available to come in?
Well, it's SSE that obviously has a number of businesses that they can call upon when things like this happen.
It was for Heartland. If they put it like, you know, there could be a welfare unit if you're off for, like, say, over 12 hours or something, you know, something that we could let the public
know. It will vary. I think the obviously the issue this time was SSE were doing this. They were mobilising resources and paying for it, et cetera, et cetera. If it was something different, if it was a flooding incident or, you know, I don't know, major fire or something along these lines, the circumstances would be different as to whose responsibility it was maybe to provide things like that. So I'm not sure there's any one...
I've just had another major power cut. Could we then say, hopefully there'll be a welfare unit, you know, check up at the town hall or something, make sure it's the town hall, not the village hall. You know, something like that. So because a lot of people didn't know. And that was my biggest concern. How did we... We should be able to say to people, look, if this happens again, then hopefully there'll be a welfare unit there at the town hall. But I think down the square would have been better rather than the town hall.
It was pretty big, I would have to say, given it was a long wheel-based van plus a long caravan.
Yeah, but where Habitat is, you know, that will cross there. Surely they could have done something. You know?
Yeah. Again, that's something we could perhaps, look at for the future and provide that information to Keith, for instance, that if that was to happen, we could cite it there.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of these things. I mean, the square may be the centre of the problem, so you can't always be...
Yeah, but I'm talking about the power cut. I mean, the flooding, things like that, emergency, big things like that, we've got that covered.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a plan for that. So we Keith's at the top of it again. So, you know, we've got the town hall and the church and the school. So that's all covered. It's really just for the power cut that I think they have Heartland if we could.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult to be definite with these things because, again, it will depend how long, you know, the power's off or how big an area is covered. I mean, if it was, I mean, that was a big area that storm covered from the northeast, you know, of the country right down through us and further. So, you know, the various centres that they would need to supply welfare of some sort to will be a factor in it as well.
Yeah, no, it was just an idea.
Yeah, no, I understand. And it's certainly worth thinking about and bearing in mind. So, you know, it may well be that we have, you know, the preferred location for any type of welfare. And that's what we say. If there is welfare available, it will be sited in the square or at the town hall or wherever.
Yeah, something like that. Just
and
so that
make that known so that, you know, Keith, if he's speaking to the SAC or Scottish Water or whoever it might be, the fire service or whatever, that this is where it's going to be.
I think that's a very important point. We need to raise a wider community awareness of what is in place.
Yeah.
Because if the communications are down, you can't communicate it then. People need to know in advance what the responses are going to look like.
Yeah.
We were quite lucky in some ways with the welfare van in that, you know, most places in Perth and Kinross were actually okay. We were one of the few places to be out. So we sort of went to the priority list quite quickly. But if, if the thing had been more widespread within Tayside, you know, we might have been waiting for longer. The other thing I found is just walking around the Aberfeldy that morning, there was a lot of people around the square and other places, you know, just talking to each other, you know, what was going on, what's possible and all the rest of it. So I think for me, people just coming out of their houses and starting to talk to people, the information was getting around in that way. But obviously some people are more inclined to do that than others.
And some people who are affected will be more remote anyway. And that's part of the issue. We need to perhaps have a wider understanding of who's out there on the fringes who might need help. We were lucky this time in the sense the storm was all about wind and bringing down trees, bringing down power. But if it had been really heavy snow, we could have been very cut off as well as having a loss of communications and power. So there are combinations of trouble which might have been worse for us and particularly for those more remote. Than the situation we had, where actually we could move around freely, pretty much, but just didn't have the comms and the power.
Can we bring up a subject that Val touched on there, John?
Yeah.
We found out that Dalween doesn't have a backup generator.
Okay.
So obviously where they were positioned on that side of town, they got their electric back quite early in the morning. And they're all sitting happily having their breakfast. But would you be able to ask a few questions about Dalween?
Yeah.
I think we were advised that Dalween and Abbeyfield are on some form of priority circuit. Now, that may have been a misnomer, but the same sort of risk and problem is true for both places.
Yeah.
And not just a generator at Dalween, maybe you need it at Abbeyfield as well. I recognise that that's not a part of a council facility, but nevertheless, it contains the elderly and vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think the way it works is that you're right, there are places that are on a priority list, and what they may come out and do is restore power to a certain premises. And not ignore, you know, the places round about them, but they will specifically come out with the view to restore power to that place. Now, that might be connecting up the power supply or providing a generator or something. And then they will move on. They'll go somewhere else and make sure the priority areas are dealt with first.
That's right.
And leave the rest of us to get on with it until they can restore the general supply. Yep. So no, I'll ask about Dalbeam and Abbeyfield, and we'll see what response I get in relation to that. And just for Alistair, the 0345 30 111 00 number is a council one. It's on our. It's obviously a free phone for our customer service centre.
Right.
But I will find out for you if it's the same number to contact all the time. I would imagine it will be.
Yeah.
I'll confirm.
So that's the general customer service number, and that would be in place all the time for council issues. Is that what you're saying?
Well, normally it would be an 0178 number,
if you like, 476,000 or something like that.
But I think what they'll do is they'll publicise that 03451 as a free phone number. Well, is it a free phone? No, it'll be a local call, isn't it? 0345.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. But what I'll do, Alistair, is I'll double check.
Yeah, if you double check.
It's a constant one.
You can always advertise. Perfect. Yeah. Thanks, John.
No problem.
Right, I'm just wary of time here, so I want to move this one on. I'll speak to Val. We'll maybe get together in slower time during January, and we'll maybe try and do a little bit of a debrief on this.
Yep.
And try and bring some ideas to our February meeting. Hopefully, we're not going to be tested again between now and then.
Yeah.
But if we are, we've had a bit of an insight into this at the moment about what's required.
Yeah.
Happy to be involved in that, Victor, if you want.
Yeah, and me too. And Victor, if there is anything, just feel free to phone me on my mobile at any time as well. I did pick up phone me on my direct mobile rather than the radio station mobile, because if the radio station isn't manned at a time, it will go on to an answer machine, which I can pick up. But please feel free to phone me on my mobile number if you need assistance.
I do am available to contribute if you have another voice around the table, Victor.
Okay, thank you, Pat.
Can I just add on a quick thing that happened today then? Because just after Pat going on about the bad weather, did you know that the school bus turned back going to Rannoch today because the snow was that bad up at Glengoldy, and all the parents were contacted to say they'd have to come to school and pick them up?
There was a lorry blocked the road, Jean, at Glengoldy.
Yeah, I know, but up at Glengoldy, the snow was really bad, and the parents were all contacted to say they'd have to try and come to school and pick their kids up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the bus couldn't get past. How were the parents going to get past?
That's a very good point.
Go round by Pitlochry.
Exactly.
I've done it myself in the taxi with kids.
That's the kind of thing just may have to be added to the resilience plan too, you know, that's the kind of thing that's going to happen, you know.
It's often they couldn't go by the Shehalion Road, you had to go via Tummel Bridge or round by Pitlochry.
The school would actually there, Jean, I think they would actually make sure the kids were looked after in the school.
Most of them found other people to look after them tonight, or some of the parents did manage to go.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the school would never leave them isolated.
Yeah.
As I say, the school are there for us as well if we ever need them, you know.
Right, I'm wary about time here, so we understand what that's about.